Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. Before looking at our topic this morning, I just wanted to let you know that we are currently studying in our Bible class at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ the subject of the family and the home. And I wanted to let you know about that in case that would be something that would be helpful to you. We all need help in our marriages. We need help in our parent-child relationships in the world that we live in today. And these are a series of studies from God's Word, looking at various aspects of the home and marriage and the family. Each Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., we have our Bible classes for all ages. And in the adult class, we are studying right now the family and the home. We also meet at Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., and we have our Bible classes again at that time. And so there's two different opportunities for you to be a part of this very important study on the home and the family. We're looking at preparing for marriage and selecting a lifelong mate. We're looking at the role of the husband and the wife, the role of the parent and the child. We're looking at the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage, various problems that are facing families today, how to raise children, and even during those difficult and troubling years that they go through, and why we're losing our young people to the devil. And so, if this would be a study that would be helpful to you, we would encourage you to come and be a part of that study. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that you and I can understand the Bible. I think a lot of times people think that they don't even need to pick up their Bible because they can't read it and understand it. A lot of times people think that they need to have the Bible explained to them by somebody who has gone to seminary, maybe the pastor or the reverend or the bishop or the priest. The explaining of God's Word, or the understanding especially of God's Word, is left up to somebody else, and they tell me what to think and understand and believe. I can't really do that for myself. That simply is a misunderstanding. We can understand the Bible. We can read our Bible and we can understand it, and we can understand it alike. And so that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. And I want to share from you in God's Word, from God's Word, some reasons. We're going to look at four reasons why we can understand the Bible. And then we're going to close this morning by looking at some essential attitudes and actions that we need to have in our life so that we can understand God's Word. You know, if somebody takes the approach that I cannot understand the Bible, that certainly is going to lead to some dangerous consequences. First of all, people will remain ignorant of God's Word and will be lost. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, when the Lord comes again, He's going to give out vengeance. He's going to exhibit vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. Paul writes that the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of His power and flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. And so those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. And so with this attitude of, well, I just can't understand the Bible, it's going to keep me away from obeying the gospel and knowing God. And that has serious consequences. Number two, people who know some of God's Word will be vulnerable to false teaching. They know a little bit about the Bible, but they think, well, I can't understand all of it. And then here comes somebody teaching error. And the New Testament, different places, talks about those who go around teaching that which is false and error. 1 John 4, 1 through 3 is one example of that. And because we do not open up our Bible and read it and understand it, we're going to be vulnerable to error and false teaching. And we know how that individuals in the past have claimed to be the Messiah, or they've claimed to have certain kinds of teachings that are certainly erroneous. I think about in the early 1990s, the David Koresh, who claimed to be a modern-day Messiah, and many people followed him, and they were killed as a result of being a part of that particular cult. And that happens all the time, where people mislead others, and often it's because they simply do not understand their Bible when they could. And number three, there will be division everywhere. Different churches, different religious groups, division is promoted when we take an approach that, well, I just simply can't understand my Bible. So, can we understand our Bible or not? That's the question we want to look at this morning. We're going to find out that you and I can understand our Bible. I want to look at four reasons this morning why that certainly is the case. Number one, we can understand the Bible because of the very nature of God who gave it. The psalmist writes in Psalm 18 and verse 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a shield unto all them that take refuge in Him." A perfect and complete God is going to reveal a message and have that recorded for all eternity in a way that can be understood. God is not man. God does not make mistakes. He does not fumble and bumble around making mistakes in what He does. Man does that, and sometimes man is hard to be understood. Sometimes he speaks and writes and thinks in such a way that he is hard to be understood. But not God. His nature is such, being perfect, that He is not going to reveal a message in a manner that cannot be understood. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, Paul is talking about the conduct in a local congregation, and he makes a statement about God in that particular context, but I believe it can be applied to a number of different areas where Paul wrote, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." He's talking about the miraculous gifts that God gave for the New Testament church. They were not to be used in a way that leads to confusion, but to peace. But God is not a God of confusion. And so in other areas of our life, we see that God is not going to reveal Himself in such a way that is confusing and hard to understand. So number one, we can understand the Bible because of the very nature of God Himself. Number two, we can understand the Bible because of the very nature of Scripture, that which is recorded. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "Every Scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Every Scripture inspired of God. The word inspired there, theopneustos, means God breathed. It doesn't mean what people mean by it today, the modern definition of inspired or inspirational. They mean by that something that motivates us, like an inspirational speaker is a motivational speaker. The word inspired literally means God breathed. What we hold in our hands is the God breathed Word of God, and it was recorded and written carefully. And Paul says it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. Those things would not be accomplished if we cannot understand the Word of God. We can't teach and reprove and correct and instruct others and ourselves if the message cannot be understood. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19 and verse 7 with regard to the Word of God, "The law of Jehovah is perfect, complete, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple." There is no flaw and error and fallibility in the Word of God. So being the very Word of God, Scripture itself, is complete and perfect. And of course, that presumes that it is also understandable. When a message is clearly spelled out, then it is understandable. Sometimes as parents will say to our children, let me slow down and make this clear for you. I want you to understand this. And so we speak in a way that cannot be misunderstood. That's the Word of God. Number three, you can understand the Word of God because of the very nature of who you are and who I am, the nature of mankind. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, and God created man in his own image. There is a part of us, the spiritual, emotional, and mental, and cognitive part of us that is made in the image and likeness of God. And so he can communicate with us. He does not communicate with animals and plants. He communicates with those whom he made in his own image. In Genesis 1:27, the text says, and God created man in his own image. Turn over just a chapter or so to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, and Jehovah God commanded the man. He spoke to Adam and Eve, and they understood that. Turn back with me to the story of the first sin of Adam and Eve in eating the fruit that God told them not to eat. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, God made Adam and Eve in a way that when he said something to them, they could understand that. Saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we know that they understood that. Turn with me to chapter 3 and verse 1, when the devil comes along and he tempts Eve to eat that fruit. He says to her in verse 1, you shall... Has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She repeated what God said, showing that she understood God. We can understand when God speaks to us. She repeated what God said to her and to Adam. So we know that she understood. Then the devil lies and says, you shall not die, verse 4. And then Eve believed the devil rather than obeying God. So, from the very first story here, we know that when God speaks, he can be understood, and that's the way it has been all throughout time. Yes, you can understand the Bible. When Jesus was speaking to the multitudes in his day, Mark records in Mark 12, verse 37, and the common people heard him gladly. The trouble is not, can we understand Jesus or not? We can understand Jesus. Some didn't want to obey, others did. And the common people, those who were not hardened by religious traditions, those who were not caught up in their idolatry and religious traditions and sinful lives to the point where they didn't want to listen, the common people heard him gladly and followed him. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15 to his disciples before he went back into heaven, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Jesus understood that his message could be understood by all mankind. There's no need to preach the gospel to the whole creation if the whole creation cannot understand it. And he's talking, of course, about people with regard to the very next verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Some people say, well, was he talking about preaching to animals and trees and plants? No, creation in that context, because of the very next verse, is talking about people. And if the gospel is to go to all people, then all people can understand it. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, and when this epistle hath been read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you also read the epistle from Laodicea. One church could read the other epistle and vice versa. God's word can be understood. Even if the message was written to somebody else, we can read it and understand it. And so, because of the nature of who we are. So number one, we can understand God's word because of the nature of God. Number two, because of the nature of Scripture. And number three, because of the nature of who we are as mankind. But there's also a fourth reason why we can understand the word of God, and that is, we're told to understand the word of God in the word of God. God would not tell us to understand his word if it could not be understood. Let's look at a few passages in the Old and New Testament where God tells us to understand his word, or he gives examples of people understanding his word. The first one is in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. When God's people, the Israelites, were gathered together in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, and they've rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls, and Ezra gathers the people around and he reads from the book of the law. And Nehemiah records in Nehemiah 8 verse 3, and he read therein, in the presence of the men and the women, and of those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 105, give me understanding according to thy word. A similar statement in Psalm 130, Psalm 119, verse 130 and verse 169. The psalmist talks about how that he can understand God's word. Jesus, speaking in Matthew 13, verse 23, in the parable of the sower, and he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Jesus would not say this if people could not understand his word. Matthew 15, verse 10, hear and understand. Matthew 24, verse 15, let him that readeth understand. When Luke wrote his gospel in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1 and verse 4, he wrote, that you may know the certainty concerning the things wherein you were instructed. You can know the certainty of things. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus, speaking to the Jews of his day, said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31, 32. We can know the truth. So there are passages that tell us that we can understand. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 13, for we write no other things unto you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand unto the end. The Apostle Paul writes again in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. Sometimes people look at that word mystery in the New Testament. It's used a few times in the New Testament. And sometimes people put in a modern definition of mystery, and they say, see, it's a mystery. We can't understand it. Paul was using a word that meant that which had not been revealed up to that point, but is now being revealed. And when it is revealed, Paul said, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. Paul had an understanding, and they could perceive and comprehend that. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, "Wherefore be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's a command. We are commanded to understand what the will of the Lord is. So clearly, the Lord's will can be understood. No, this idea of, I can't understand the Word of God, that's just simply an excuse for not wanting to learn what we need to learn. So we've seen that we can indeed understand God's Word based upon the nature of God, the nature of Scripture, the nature of mankind, and plain and simple passages in the Old and New Testament that tell us that we can and must understand God's Word. I want to use the rest of our time to look at some attitudes and some practices that we need to have in our life so that we can indeed understand the Word of God. What are some essential things? I would like to talk about six of them briefly. Somebody says, well, I don't understand God's Word. Well, that may be true, but it's not the fault of God's Word. They don't have some essential things in their life necessary to that. The fault is on their shoulders, not God's. And there have been times in my own personal life where I've not understood something in God's Word, but when I dig in and study, then I understand it. When I listen and dig in and study. So what are some essential things that are necessary? Well, number one, we have to have a will, a desire to want to understand. And that's really true with a lot of things in life. We do not accomplish what we don't really desire to accomplish. That could be true with our work. That could be true with our home life. That could be true with school, with sports, and a number of other things. If we want to understand God's will, then we have to have a desire to do that. In John 7 verse 17, Jesus said, "If any man willeth, desireth, if any man willeth to do his will, God's will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." We have to have a desire, a will, to know God's will. That's first and foremost and fundamental and foundational. A lot of people say, well, I don't understand God's Word. Well, have you read it lately? No. Do you have any interest in the Bible? No. And so forth. Well, you really don't have a desire, so you're not going to understand it. Once you start with that desire and take the next steps in time, you'll understand God's will. Start with that desire, that will to know. Number two, you need to be willing to hear all things, not just one verse. Sometimes people will read one little bit, or they'll start maybe reading their Bible. Sometimes people are encouraged to start reading their Bible at the beginning of the year. And we would encourage you to do that. I have some daily Bible reading schedules I could share with you if you want to get organized with that. But read God's Word every day. But sometimes people will read one little thing and then they'll put their Bible down and say, well, I don't understand anything. We have to read it to hear all things. Peter preaching in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, Moses indeed said, a prophet, he's talking about the coming of Jesus, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, likened unto me. To him you shall hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. All things. We have to listen to all of it. We have to read and keep God's Word in context. Read all that God wants on a particular subject before we can understand that subject. Get all of the Bible passages on the church so that we can understand the church, the plan of salvation, the work and worship and organization of the church, my personal life as a Christian, all of those things that are said about that, my relationship to civil government or whatever the subject is, get all of that. Listen to all that Jesus has said about that matter. Number three, we may get help from others. I said earlier at the beginning of the lesson that sometimes people rely on those who go to seminary and things like that. You can't understand God's word unless you go to seminary. Well, who's teaching the seminary students? Well, the teachers. Well, who taught them? Well, their teachers. Well, who taught them? Somebody is guiding somebody. But we can understand, and if we do need some help, there are those who have spent their lifetime studying God's word, and they can help us with that. When Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and he wanted some help understanding that. And so he says to Philip, when Philip asked him, "Understandest what thou readest?" Philip got this response from the eunuch, "How can I except someone shall guide me?" And so Philip went up and talked with him and preached to him Jesus. We might need some guiding from time to time. And there are those who can help us if we're willing to study with them and look at God's word together. Number four, we need a readiness of mind to understand. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul was preaching in Berea, he had left Thessalonica, where many of them had rejected the word of God. He is now in Berea, and the text says that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Two things here. We have to have an open and ready mind, and then we have to have regular examination. We can't just read the Bible and then put it down for weeks or months and then read one little verse. We have to have daily, regular examination of the Word of God, and then we begin to understand it more. But a readiness of mind. If we go into the situation believing that we're going to fail from the outset, then yes, we're going to fail. But if we have a readiness of mind to have an open mind and an open Bible, we will learn. Along the same lines, number five, we need diligent attention. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, give yourself to reading. The reading of Scripture, whether it's the private or the public reading of Scripture. In 2 Timothy 2, 15, Timothy was to give diligence or study. Handle accurately the word of truth. And then in 1 Timothy 4, 13, give attention to reading. Careful study, looking at words, looking at context, that always helps to understand. And then last of all, experience and adding of knowledge. We're to have experience in the Word of God, Hebrews 5, verse 14. We are to add to our knowledge, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. We grow in our knowledge and we understand more and more. Friends, you can understand the Bible. If you don't have one, I'd be glad to give you one for free. Contact us. I'll bring you a Bible. If you have one, open it up and start studying it. And if we can study together, that would be great. You can understand God's Word, and we can understand it alike. God expects us to understand His Word in order to be saved and to be united in Christ and be with Him for all eternity in heaven. Come join us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. And let's study the Bible together. Thank you for being with us, and we hope that you'll join us again next week for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program.